Well, good morning, Southwest family. It's so good to see y'all. For those of you here in person, those watching online. If you don't know me, I'm Pastor Connor. I'm the associate pastor here, and I get the honor of giving the last Got the Movies sermon this series for 2022, which is Encanto, which is one of my favorite movies from last year. So I'm excited to do that with you, but bear with me. It's my first time picking clips. There's so many to pick from, and it's going to be fun. Don't worry. We're going to have a good time. 2 weeks ago, our mixer question was, what is your favorite musical? And I know there's been some pretty good ones over time, but I probably would have answered even 2 weeks ago that Encanto is one of my favorite, if not top two, musicals of all time. Even though it's an animated movie, the soundtrack is incredible. The songs are incredible. The choreography, even though it's animated characters, is amazing. And so I'm going to show you a decent amount of clips, and a lot of them include the music because the lyrics tell the story. So I'm excited to share that as with you. If you've watched the movie or not, I hope to make it seem like you have watched it at the end of this sermon. But just remember, we don't talk about Bruno. Now, if you haven't watched the movie, you won't know what that means, but maybe go watch it later or go listen to the song. It'll make sense later. And how fitting that the movie I get to preach on is a Disney movie. If you've heard me preach here before, I always talk about how my family loves Disney. We grew up going to Disney, watched Disney movies. We're kind of Disney fanatics. And the really, really funny story about this is the first time I watched this movie was over Christmas season last year. While we were celebrating Davisside Christmas in Orlando at Disney. So the first time I watched this was at Disney. So Disney, Disney, Disney. We sure do love our Disney. I want to set up the background for this movie before we start going into what we can learn from it and different God's truths that we can see through this movie, and just show you a couple clips to set the story. The movie begins with Abuela telling Mirabel about their family history, and Mirabel is her granddaughter, who's the main character of the movie. Abuela and Abuelo had to flee their original home, on their journey of fleeing, Abuelo died protecting the family and those that were traveling with them. Now, based on the type of clothing and the visual elements in Encanto, we can say that the movie was set in rural Colombia in the 50s or 60s. So that would put the origin of this story when they were fleeing around the turn of the century in 1900. With this in mind, that armed conflict that they were running from and the political conflict that they were hiding from would have been what is known as the Thousand Days War, which took place between 1899 and 1902. This conflict caused the displacement of thousands and thousands of Colombians, as well as 100 to 150,000 casualties, which at that time was about two-thirds of the Colombian population. This was a very, very dark and scary time for that country. It's considered one of the most violent episodes in Colombian history, and it's one that's still prevalently remembered among all generations in Colombia. And so this is when Abuela and the family Madrigal got their miracle, when they were fleeing from this conflict. Abuela sacrificed himself to fight off the chasers, the political chasers, while the family and everyone else got away. And that's when the Abuela dropped to her knees and just cried out, and she got the magical miracle of the casita and the candle. And this casita, which is their house, was created out of nowhere. It just formed, and it became this big magical house where her and her family lived, and then a village sprouted around them. And after that, as they began to live in this house and just live in this new community, they began to develop just different magical gifts to help the family, protect the village, and just love on others all around them. And as their family grew, each person, as they came of age, would get a gift. They are better and stronger together as they use these gifts and continue to reach out to others in this way. I'm going to play you a clip here where Mirabel introduces each family member and their gifts. It's also a musical scene, so be ready.
Let us hear so many years ago. Whoa. And every year our family will coffee's for grown-ups. Might be a bad mom, her mood affects the weather. When she's unhappy, well, the temperature gets weird. Might be a Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno.
They say he saw the future. One day he disappears.
Oh!
And that's why mom, Mietta, here's her deal.
Whoa!
The truth is she can heal you with a meal.
Whoa!
Her recipes are remedies for real. If you're impressed, imagine how I feel, mom. Welcome to the family, Madrigal. The home of the family, Madrigal. Hey, coming through! I know it sounds a bit fantastical, magical, but I'm part of the family, Madrigal. Did I fell in love with the family, Madrigal? And now they're part of the family, Madrigal. Silvio, Felix, Mary, Beppa, and my dad married Julieta. That's all blood on the
game. Abuela, Madrigal.
Let's go, let's go.
That somehow found us. The town keeps growing, the world keeps turning, but work and dedication will keep the miracle burning, and each new generation must keep the miracle burning.
Wait, who's a sister and who's a cousin?
There's so many people.
How do you keep them all straight?
Okay. So many kids in our house, so let's turn the sound up. You know why? I think it's time for a grand team round of
Cousin Dolores. Camilo Shane, Chips, Antonio gets his gift today. My older sisters,
Isabel and Luisa.
One strong, one graceful, perfect in every way.
Isabella.
Frozen water, the town goes wild.
Isabella.
She's a perfect golden child.
Lisa. Lisa.
And Luisa's
Lisa.
Super strong.
Lisa.
The beauty and the brawn, you know wrong.
That's
life in the family, Madrigal.
Whoa.
Now you know family.
About the family and...
She was about to tell us about her super awesome gift!
Oh, Mirabel didn't get one.
Mirabel's mom, Julieta, has the gift to heal anyone by giving them food to eat. I could use one of her meals for my elbow. That'd be pretty great about right now. In the middle of that clip, one of the things and one of the lines that the song talks about is how they swear to help those around them and use their gifts to like spread love and spread hope and bring people in. Sounds a lot like how we're supposed to use our gifts from God. To glorify God, spread his love and hope, and help others. But sometimes gifts, especially magnificent ones like that, can sometimes go to our head and impact how we treat others, how we view ourselves, and where we find our identity. We see the dilemma of the movie right away. In the beginning, as it shows that Mirabel didn't get a gift. She's different than all the rest of the family. How many of us have ever felt like Mirabel? Where we felt like, oh, I'm the only one at work that isn't so super good at something. I'm the only one at church that doesn't have a super good thing that I can serve in or do. Or at home, I'm not the most talented. I'm not the most gifted. We doubt our impact, worth, and importance. And we start to see in this movie as it goes along how the whole family gets their identity from their gifts. And that makes it a pretty toxic and hard environment for Mirabel, as she doesn't have one. She did not do anything wrong, but her circumstances make her seem less than and overlooked. A few minutes later into the movie, Abuela even tells Mirabel to just sit back, go to the side, and not get in the way during her cousin's gift ceremony. She wanted her to just watch from the sidelines. Her lack of an outward gift allowed her family to treat her less than, or like a lesser member of the family. But what we will discover throughout the rest of this movie is that she is just as important as anyone else in the family, and she will play a key role in their story. Mirabel's ceremony was the last one before her cousin Antonio's, which is about to come up in the movie. So everyone's clearly nervous because at that last ceremony, she didn't get a gift. So they're like trying to do everything possible to make sure it's perfect, and they're trying to control it, and they're trying to make it seem like just sunshines and rainbows. And Mirabel continues to be supportive. She wants her cousin to get a gift. She wants to be supportive to her family. She's so, so loving and so, so patient. And Antonio ends up getting a gift, and it's a pretty cool one. He can talk to animals. I don't know if you saw in the trailer, but he can talk to animals. So one of the parts of the scene is he's riding a tiger through his magical room, up and down these cool trees and landscapes, just talking to all the other animals. And the whole town is watching. Mirabel is happy for him, but then she continues to be treated poorly because of her lack of a gift, and it starts to make her feel insecure, and she starts to doubt herself. And so right as Antonio got his gift, she bursts out into song, where she has this internal battle of if she's okay or not. So let's take a look at that clip.
Hey, I'm still a part of the family, Madrigal, and I'm fine, I am totally fine. I will stand on the side as you shine. I'm not fine, I'm not fine.
What an anthem of everyone who has ever felt less than, inadequate, or less important. Now, I know that both those clips were longer, but the songs were just so full of good material, I just had to show you all of it. Mirabel, who has been doing so good being happy for her family and just loving on her family, is starting to crack and feel the pressure of her not having a gift. She's starting to feel the weight of her identity being rooted in that fact of her not having a gift. But the true miracle for the family Madrigal was not the gifts, was not the house. It was the fact that they were saved and protected from the danger that they were fleeing from their original town. They were able to have the safety of the family to rebuild and regroup and to build a new, healthy, multi-generational family where they weren't running from danger at all times. But that wasn't something that they saw yet. God has given each and every one of us gifts, abilities, and talents. In the beginning when we got them, we thanked God. We were like, God, thank you for giving me this ability, give me this gift, give this talent. And we would use them to glorify him and help others. But sometimes we can start clinging to that gift and start feeling like that's all of us. Like, that's what makes our identity, is our ability to do that gift. And we stop relying on God, stop thanking God, stop trusting God. We start to find our identity more in what we do, more than in whose we are, which is God. In the middle of Antonio's celebration ceremony, Mirabel goes out into the courtyard and she begins to see cracks forming in the house. Something's wrong. There's a problem. So she runs into Antonio's room. She tells Abuela and everyone that there's cracks. And they come out and they look, but inevitably, they kind of went away and no one believed her. There's an issue with the miracle, but no one wants to address it. And people that call out cracks or problems in the family God are not always listened to or believed also. Sometimes the family God prefers the status quo. We prefer to stay in the muck rather than truly considering that some things need to change and that maybe we've potentially headed down the wrong path. In the case of the family Madrigal, they went wrong when they started valuing that miracle that was given them more than what the miracle saved. The miracle was the family itself and its safety, its protection, and its ability to grow. The family, and especially Abuela, allowed Mirabel to coexist, but they never truly accepted her because of her lack of a gift. Abuela was hiding the fact that there was a problem. She knew that there was an issue, but she was trying to just figure it out herself, not let anybody else know. And when she would be confronted about it, she would lie, she'd cover it up, and she would act like everything was okay. In the family of God, we as humans are going to fail. We're going to get things wrong. And we're going to need to change and pivot at times. That's part of the journey, and the Holy Spirit guides us through that. But when we blatantly cover up an issue, or act like it isn't there, or gaslight people for bringing light to that situation, we're doing a disservice to God and to each other. We can't do it all on our own. Our own abilities and talents will only get us so far. So we need to thank God for our gifts and our abilities, but also that our identity, our worth, and our value is not tied to those things. Mirabel's mother, Julieta, tells her that she is perfect and amazing just the way she is. But the damage has already been done. Mirabel does not feel that way. She is looking at her work based on her gifts and abilities. Her identity feels non-existent because of that lack. So she sets out to save the family. Her new mission is she's going to save the miracle. And to compensate for her lack of identity, she goes harder than ever into this effort. And that leads us into our first point. Our identity does not come from the gifts or abilities we have. We will get into this a little bit more later, but identity comes from being a part of the family of God. And the family of God is made up of tons of different people with tons of different gifts, abilities, and impacts. God gave us community in each other to help us live a life dedicated to Him and dedicated to loving others and spreading His hope. In Matthew 22, Jesus lays out the two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Part of that second part, loving your neighbor, deals with correcting wrongs, learning and growing, and the self-awareness that we don't always get it right. Mirabel's not trying to hurt the family by calling out the problem and the cracks in the house. She's doing it out of love. She wants to protect the family. She wants to make sure that they're okay. She wants to make sure that their miracle continues on. One of the first gifts I noticed in Mirabel is her ability to notice things that others can't. And she isn't afraid to verbalize it. She's able to communicate them, those feelings and those things she notices, to the family for the betterment of the family. The family of God needs people like this, people that are able to notice issues, patterns, and be willing to communicate them. And she's also very empathetic. She's able to talk through emotions and the hurts and the pains of her family. One of my favorite examples of this is when she confronts her sister, Luisa. She knows that Luisa knows something about the cracks in the house. And so she follows Luisa out as Luisa's doing her normal daily tasks, like resetting houses and carrying 6 donkeys and doing all these different things with her magical strength. Just typical work for a lady in 50s and 60s Colombia, you know? But in the middle of her talking to her, Luisa breaks out in song, singing one of my favorite songs from the movie. I wish I could show you it, but I've already shown you 2 big clips of songs. It's called Surface Pressure. So instead, I'm going to read you some of the lyrics. They're so well written and expressed. So the first one is, "Under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can't be of service." And then the second one is, "But wait, if I could shake the crushing weight of expectations, would that free some room up for joy or relaxation or simple pleasure? Instead, we measure this growing pressure, keeps growing, keep going." Luisa feels the pressure to live up to her identity rooted in her gift, rooted in this magnificent strength. She feels worthless unless she's using her gift. But this is also simultaneously crushing her because she can never live up to those expectations. The pressure to fulfill and sustain that identity through her gift is not sustainable. The same happens to us when we find our identity in what we do. When we find our identity in the things that aren't God and that we must sustain ourselves. Let's dive into Ephesians 2 to learn more about our identity and where it comes from. So starting in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our identity, worth, and values comes from us being saved by God's grace and being brought into the family of God. And the fact that we are raised up and put in a seat next to Christ in the heavenly realms with God. Verse 9 antiquates that we are not saved by works. It's not by anything that we do with our gifts or abilities or how righteous we live. It is purely by God's grace. And then through his saving grace, we are renewed and live a life dedicated to him, living out of love, doing good works, and doing things unto others. But I'll admit, it's not always easy. It's hard at times to find your identity in what you do or your abilities that you have. It's hard not to, sorry. For some of us, our job might be what we find our identity in. We're very skilled in it. We're very proficient in it. Making money and all those things where we find identity. Some of us are amazing parents or spouses, and how we treat our significant other is where we find our identity. Because maybe we treat our partner exceptionally well. Other of us may be really smart, and we are well-read, so we're confident in our ability to learn, grow, and develop. And some of us, maybe our identity is rooted in our athleticism or our physical fitness. And some of us might be really good musicians, and that's where we find our identity. Whatever it is, even if it's something I didn't mention, those are the things that make us great. But when they become things that come in between us and God, they do a disservice and take away value from us and take away value from Christ. And those things can also crush us at times and make us feel worthless, just like it did for Luisa and Isabella in the movie. Isabella is the other sister who's perfect and can make flowers grow just by thinking. And she feels like her entire life she's had to be perfect. And everyone looks at her to be perfect. And that can be crushing at times. It's been a humbling moment for me breaking my elbow. Not only has it knocked me out of athletics for a while, but it also drastically affected my daily tasks and work life. I mean, frankly, I can only type with one hand, so just imagine me typing this sermon. Took a long time. But I also have to learn to ask for help, which is not something I'm always good at. I have to learn to rely on the support of other people for things here at church, like setting out chairs or doing different tasks that I maybe could have done super easily 2 months ago on my own. And I've also had to ask for help for things at home. Thank God for Shai, because she has been so patient, so gracious, and so kind. I couldn't have made it through these past couple months without her. And even elsewhere, at the store, or even putting my mic on today, I'm like, Ed, can you help me get this on? I don't have two hands to do this. I still can't grip the best with this hand. But there's times that my identity has been fully wrapped up in what I can do, and my usefulness and my ability to use my gifts, rather than in whose I am, which is God's. It's something I've been really convicted of since getting hurt. I'll be sitting there thinking, what am I worth? What am I good for if I can't do the things I was doing? If I can't be useful like I was a couple months ago? If I can't do things like I could when I had two working arms? I felt sorry for myself. I've been really sad and down certain days. But in the same way, God has picked me back up. He's encouraged me that my identity doesn't come from those things. He sent people to encourage me and build me back up and remind me that that's not where I get my identity from. It's not where I get my worth. And there are other things that I'm still good at and I can contribute. But I'll be honest, it's not easy some days. There's days I cry out to God in frustration and disappointment for where I'm at, or what I can't do, or physical therapy and treatment aren't going the way I want it to. It may seem silly to you, but almost every day I'm pretty frustrated that I can't go play basketball. Even though that's the exact activity that got me here. It's one of my favorite ways to exercise and just relax. I miss it, and I'm not going to rush back. I'm going to do the PT. I'm going to be smart. But I can't wait for the day I can get back. But whether it's my inability to play sports or to do certain things that I could here at church or at home or just in life, my identity isn't found in my gifts or abilities. My identity is found in whose I am, God's. But that can be a hard pill to swallow at times. But I am encouraged and I cling to the fact that our identity and worth comes from being a child of God and what we inherit for being a part of that family. I love the last few verses of our passage in Ephesians, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Through grace we join the family of God and are saved. It is a gift. Just like the miracle the family of Madrigal got was a gift. It is not by works or gifts or abilities or anything we do that gets us into the family of God. And even though that's not what got us in, he has given us gifts and abilities to spread his love and to bless others. They're still an amazing thing that we can use as an awesome tool. And this leads us into our second point, which is our worth comes from God, and we can't even comprehend how much he values and loves us. Jesus in Matthew tells the disciples that their worth is vast. And let's read a quick passage about that. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God sets your worth. And your worth comes from being a child of God. He created us. He loves us unconditionally, and he desires a close relationship with us. We do not need to fret about how amazing or plentiful or impactful our lives are going to be. That does not set our worth. Our worth comes from God. And once we find our identity in God and our worth, the Holy Spirit comes in us, he guides us, and he takes care of all the rest. That's when we become impactful. That's when we are allowed to bless and help others in a way that we never could have done on our own. Jesus was explaining to the disciples how caring God is and how he immeasurably values us. Every single hair on your head is numbered. God knows and cares about the largest and the smallest aspects of your life and your person. Another example of this is found in Luke. So let's dive into Luke 12. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We are worth more than birds and flowers, and yet God has so delicately designed, clothed, and creatively set nature in this way. Our worth and value comes from being a part of the kingdom of God, being a part of his family. That is where our identity comes from, and it comes from loving one another and finding that communal sense of identity in Christ. The communal sense of identity that is Christianity is so countercultural, especially to Western nations like the United States, that are founded on individualism. Everything is about individual rights and what's best for me. And that's all right, and that's okay. But Christianity is all about loving one another. It's what's doing best for the family of God. It's about spreading that love throughout the community and working in a communal way. Uncle Bruno in this movie only ever wanted to help the family. He wanted to do what was best for them. He loved them. He was honest and caring. But his gift wasn't always well received. He would have prophecies and visions of what would happen, and sometimes they weren't great. So people would look at him and be like, "You caused this." And he's like, "That's just what I saw." But Mirabel explores his room, and she's trying to find the prophecy tablet of why he had to go away. So for those of you who didn't watch the movie, up until this point, we have not seen Bruno, and he's been missing, MIA. He left the family a while ago. She finds the tablet, and it's a vision of her and the house cracking. And she's like, "Why am I part of the house cracking?" So she later finds Bruno hiding in the walls and has a conversation with him. So let's watch this encounter.
What does it mean? Is it why you came back, or... Yo, Bruno!
Knock on wood. You were never supposed to see that vision. No one was.
But...
A little salt.
Sugar? Sana, sana.
Wait, have you been in here patching the cracks?
Oh, that? No. I'm too scared to go near those things. All the patching's done by Hernando.
Who is Hernando?
I'm Hernando, and I'm scared of nothing.
It's actually me. I used to say my real gift was acting.
I'm Jorge. I made the sparkle.
How long have you been back here?
It wasn't helping the family, but I love my family, you know? I just don't know how to...
Well, anyway, I think you should go because...
So as you can maybe tell, I'm still learning how to splice scenes together. So what we maybe missed in that cutout was he's talking about how his gift, he doesn't feel like his gift helps the family. I'm not as talented as Anthony in that yet. We'll get there. It's my first shot. But Bruno's talking about how he doesn't feel like his gift was helping the family, so that's why he went away. But his value to the family has been immense, even without their knowledge. In the walls, he's been patching up the house. He's been doing his best to protect them. He only disappeared because he felt bad about his prophecies and what they seemed to say was coming. Bruno's plight was different from others. His gifts and abilities were misunderstood and discounted as bad. Sometimes this can be the plight of Christians as well. It can be hard not to worry and doubt what our gifts or our abilities are doing and how they matter and how they're impacting things. Bruno doubted his gift, but it was given to him for a reason: to help the family and to help others. Like the passage in Luke we just read says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" Us doubting our efforts and abilities that God has given us and guided us in does not provide us any benefit. All he asks is to trust him, to find our identity in him. And if our treasure is in obeying him and following him, then our treasure of our heart will follow. We don't need to worry or doubt. We all struggle with wanting to know what's next. We want to understand the future. We want to have control. But part of faith in life is not knowing. We don't know what's next. We got to cling to what God is telling us through his truth. This is why worrying adds nothing to our lives. When our identity and worth is found in God, we don't have to doubt or worry about the future or what happens. Romans 8, 14 through 17 explains it well, where we find our identity and what that means for us. Let's read that. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in the glory. We are not just Christ's followers. With the Spirit of God leading us, we are co-heirs with Christ. We are adopted into the family of God. And part of that is we share in the turmoil and the suffering, but also the glory. Mirabelle is a part of the family Madrigal. She's an heir to all that this family does, accomplishes, and loves through their gifts. She may not have a magical gift like the rest of them, an outward one, but her unity and her community and her love is just as important, and it's a gift in itself. She's constantly there for her sisters, her cousins, her aunts, her uncles, her parents, and her abuela. Some of the scenes I wanted to show you but I couldn't are just different times where she would go up to one of her sisters or cousins and help them through something they were struggling with or something in their identity or worth that they were having a hard issue with. She helped them see that they were valuable and amazing just for being a part of the family and just for being who they are. During this movie, we get to see the progression, and we get to walk alongside Mirabelle in her journey to understand her worth and her identity and see that it comes from the family she's a part of. It's not based on what gifts or abilities she has. It's the same for us. Our worth is found in what family we're a part of, God's family. Not our gifts or abilities or what we do. Our identity is found in being a child of God. And we must remember that. And so our third point is that our identity is found in being a child of God and a co-heir with Christ in the family of God. The miracle of the family was not their gifts. It was the family itself with their love, unity, and ability to survive and grow together. It took the casita crumbling and the candle burning out. So that's another part I haven't shown you yet, but the house, all the cracks that were in the house and all the different things, it caused the house to crumble. So that's the point in the movie we're at. The house is decimated. The whole family's sitting there trying to deal with that. And it took all of that for the family to realize that it's not their gifts. It's not the miracle of the gifts that made them important. It's the family itself. Even Abuela sees this. And I'm going to show you two clips of her realizing her mistakes and seeing her family's true worth. Let's play the first one.
I was given a miracle, a second chance, and I was so afraid to lose it that I lost sight of who our miracle was for, and I am. You never heard of family Mirabelle. We are broken. Because of me.
A Abuela realizes she clung too hard to the miracle itself and not what the miracle saved, her family. And now we're going to dive right back into that second clip of when they're rebuilding the casita.
You're more than just your gift,
and I'm sorry I held on too tight. Just so afraid I'd lose you too. The miracle is not some magic that you've got. The miracle is you, not some gift, just you. The miracle is you,
all of you, all of you.
So where it cuts out is kind of a funny scene where the little cousin says, are we not going to talk about Bruno? Because that's the first time a lot of them had seen Bruno in years. He's finally back with the family, and that's amazing. Mirabel sings, you're more than just your gift. And Abuela apologizes and sings, the miracle's not some magic that you've got. The miracle is you. We get to see the whole family come out of the come to the realization that their worth and identity comes from the family they're a part of and who they are because of whose they are. Same goes for us. Our identity and worth are found in Jesus. We have value and worth because of whose we are in God. Like the passage in Romans says, we are co-heirs with Christ. We're adopted into the family of God. And with that Spirit entering us and guiding us and walks with us and intercedes for us, when the Spirit of God entered us, we became children of God. And that made us fully part of the family of God, gained a share in all that glory and all the suffering of the family. The family madrigal is similar. They all get to share in the miracle of their family together. At times, Mirabel felt like a lesser part of the family. Do you hear at the end of the movie how that changes? There's many times in church that we feel like our gifts or our contributions aren't enough. We look at another person, we're like, well, they're doing more than me. But each and every one of us plays a big part in the family of God. We all have our different unique gifts and abilities to provide different aspects to this big communal sense of identity. Just like Mirabel, her cousins, her aunts, her uncles, her parents, and her abuela, they all played a role. Our communal sense of identity in the family of God allows us to use, to play a role and use our different unique gifts and abilities. And we also get to see how the villagers play a unique role in this story. They join this family in a different way, but they also get to be a part of it and share in its glory and its suffering. And it's a cool metaphor to see how they're always invited. They're always welcome to the casita. They're a part of the family too. They're unofficial, but they are members of the family madrigal as well. And in the end of the movie, when all hope seems lost, the casita's decimated, the magic's gone, the unofficial family, the villagers, come together, share in the suffering and the burden, and they help rebuild the casita. So let's take a look at that clip.
It isn't perfect.
Neither are we.
That's true. There's one more thing before the celebration.
What?
We need a doorknob.
What do you see?
I see me. All of me.
Thank you.
So the villagers come together. They help rebuild the house. They take part in the burden of building the house, but then they share in the glory of the house and the magic and the miracle being restored. And Mirabel gets to be the one with her M on the doorknob, restoring it all. She gets to be the key part of that family. Jesus' love is the ultimate gift and miracle. The love shared between the family Madrigal and the villagers burned stronger than ever as they shared in that burden of working on the house. The casita is like the vessel of the church. It's the building. It's the meeting place. It's the gathering. And when it fell down, it felt like all hope was lost. But the true casita, or the true church, was the family. It was the people. In our case, it's the family of God. It's us. We're the church. It's not this building. It's all of us. They restored the casita, but this time, rather than it being built on a foundation of fear or insecurity, judgment or preservation, it's built on the miracle of family, love, and community. The candle burning the casita is like Jesus. And it went out when casita fell, like when Jesus died. But the miracle and the love never went away. And when it was restored, the candle burned brighter than ever. Just like the candle lights up and illuminates the casita and family Madrigal, Jesus lights up our world and life. He is our guide and restoration. The casita was restored and brought family back together, like Jesus reconciled humanity and the family of God. The miracle was never the magic of the house or the gifts. It was their identity of the family and the safety and just everything they had together as a family. Just like our identity as a child of God. Their safety and redemption from perils of running from political strife was that true miracle. Our true miracle is our adoption into the family of God and the redemption Jesus brought through his death on the cross and then resurrection out of death. This sacrifice allowed us access to eternal redemption and grace. We must remember identity does not come from our gifts or the abilities we have. Our worth comes from God, and we can't even comprehend how much he values and loves us. And our identity is found in being a child of God and a co-heir with Christ in the family of God. The story of Encanto is a beautiful story of restoration, finding true worth, and true identity. And through unpacking this story, we have been able to see the parallels to the truth we know through Christ Jesus and the restoration and the redemption he brought. The worth we have through being connected to him and our identity being rooted in being a child of God and a co-heir with Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you that your son died on the cross and made a way for that redemption and that restoration to take place. And I thank you that our identity is found through that grace, found through being adopted into the family of God. Just like Mirabel and the Madrigals, the special and the important and the part that makes them worthy is being a part of that family, that loving family, that supportive family. Just like we're a part of a loving and supportive family of God. All of us here have access to that. We can find our worth and our identity in you. So I just ask that you would move our hearts to maybe if there's something that's blocking our way of finding our true identity in you, whether it's work or a hobby or a thing about us that we value even higher, that you just convict us of that, Lord, that you would allow us to see that we must find our true worth and identity in you alone first, and then through that, our gifts and our abilities can be used for your glory, Lord. I ask that you just be with us this week as we go out into our workplaces, go out into our homes, and just the community. That you show us that this community, this church, this family, doesn't have to just be when we meet here on Sundays. It's also when we're out and about. We can rely on each other. We can reach out to one another. We have that communal sense where we can just love on each other and feel that warmth and that love. So I just ask that you continue to instill that in us and allow us just continue to see how much you do value us, how much you do love us, that our worth and identity does come from you. And as we go today, you you would just bless us and keep us safe. And thank you for all that we've learned through the story of Encanto, Lord. In your name we pray.